Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Okay, everybody. Let's see who. Let's see who's here. This is Don. I'm here. So. Linda.
Yep.
Okay. Richard. Linda.
Yep.
Okay. Mary. Is Joan here? Okay. Okay, so we've got Mary, Linda, and Rich. Okay. And I got Linda's stuff. Did I get anything from Mary or Richard that has been sent in the last hour?
No, Mary did not do it.
Mary flaked out on me?
I did, and I'm in a funk, so I don't know. I know I have to get back in it, but I totally dropped the ball.
Okay. Richard?
Yes, hang on, Don. I faxed over a bunch of stuff yesterday, and I'm just looking at my fax machine, and it got jammed, Don.
All right. The old got jammed. Yeah, I've heard that
the dog
one.
Dog ate his homework. Yeah.
Dog ate my homework.
No. All right,
go ahead.
Session.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I was just picking on you, Richard. Okay.
No, I understand that.
All right. So let's take just a few minutes because I'm going to go into this. Are you a salesperson for a second and third, and this is a good section because it probably will address some of what Mary was just saying. When you say, let's just go through each one of you. Mary, you said you're in a funk. What does that mean?
You know, for the last 2 weeks, I have just been avoiding what I need to do. And I know that I need to do something different, and I'm not changing it. And it's, you know, I just need to get back on the horse and ride again. And that's really all it.
Yeah,
I'm sorry?
It's interesting because when we know we haven't done what we're supposed to do, and yet we're scheduled and we show up for the call. I mean, I can only imagine that if you haven't done what you're supposed to do, it's not all that pleasant talking to me. I don't take it personally, but I know that that's a fact. You know, it's like, oh man, didn't do what I was supposed to, blah, 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 and I have to listen. Oh, I'm not going to feel good. So I do applaud you for being here because it probably was something that crossed your mind not to be here.
Well, absolutely. I could come up with a million excuses on why I haven't been doing what I need to do, but the reality is they're just excuses.
And they probably are just excuses for the most part, and that's why this section is actually pretty good. This salesperson section, because so many of us have some degree of what we call reluctance. You know, picking up the phone, and when you're in a quote unquote funk, part of the reason we're in a funk is because we're not doing the things that we need to do to get a different emotional feeling about what we're doing. In other words, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, where else are you supposed to end up in a funk? Make
Good
sense?
Point. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so the bottom line is that, you know, if you're driving to Mexico and you're on the right highway, you're going to get there. if you're not doing what you need to do, you're gonna get where you are right now. So, and that goes for all of us. I know we all struggle in this area to some degree or another. Let me ask Linda real quickly what's going on with her and how things are going.
Well, I mean, I did it basically. You know, I mean, I didn't like doing it, and I didn't really want to do it. But I mean, I mean, I had read The Focal Point, and then I read, Success is Not an Accident. I've been reading a lot of books. You know, I read all the five that you sent. I read another four, actually. You know, and it's like they're all saying the same, and mostly that, you know, you have to do basically everything that you're saying, and two, at the end of the day, you have to make your plan and set your goals for the next day. And every single book is saying exactly the same that you're saying, and it's like, but then to put it into action the next day, it's hard. So if you really don't write down everything the day before that you're going to plan on, who you're going to call and what you're going to do, you're not going to do it. So it's like, I'm trying to, like, you know, like, say 4 or 5 o'clock, all right, write my list of, all right, what I'm really going to do, because if you don't plan what you're going to do, you can't plan the next day, you know. But, you know.
Yeah, fail to plan to fail.
You know, I mean, and it's like, you know, but, you know, really, truthfully, you know, it's like, I think you hit the midpoint of the year, you see, you're not where you wanted to be, you know, and you say, all right, now I need to regroup because I didn't get where I wanted to be now, and now I need to do some kind of change, too, I think, when you hit the midpoint of the year. You know, you kind of like, and then it's July. I think the first 2 weeks of July, everything is slow, and so you feel like, kind of like, I don't know, and I don't know. So that's how I feel, like, you know, it's like, I mean, you know what you have to do, and it's just putting it to action is the hard part. And so then, too, when you get busy, you know, it's like things do accelerate and you find yourself doing more. When you get slow, it's hard getting yourself moving and motivated again. So that's where we get in our slumps, you know. And that's,
right.
Like, I feel like I'm in a slump right now, like, you know, and to get myself moving every day. So it's like, you know, it just gets frustrating. So, you know, you have to alleviate them. And it's like, you know, by always having consistent business, but, you know, and that's what we're all doing here, trying to get out of these slumps and learn how to get out. But, you know, it's, you know, but, you know.
Well, I'm going to come back and address the things that you shared and the things that Mary was talking about, because I think I've got good stuff for that. Mm-hmm. Let me ask Richard real quick where he's at, and then we'll come back and I'll make a statement.
Do I have to?
Do you have to?
I'm just. I would. The words that would come out of my mouth cannot be said any better than, who was it, Joan that just said it?
Linda.
No, I'm sorry, Linda. I'm sorry. Linda, yes. Don, I read The Instant Millionaire by Mark Fisher. I read How to Think Like a Millionaire by Mark Fisher and Mark Allen. I'm 2/3 done with The Focal Point by Brian Tracy. Great book. I'm looking forward to the next two you suggested. And I've been reading some other books concurrently with them. I find myself getting a little demotivated by getting emails and reading articles from the Association of Realtors and from the general press about the condition of the marketplace and how sales are declining and sales prices are declining. A lot of my buyers that I was working with are first-time home buyers, and a lot of them really were just basically qualifying for loans. So I'm losing a I'm not too confident right now in my ability to achieve reasonable goals in the next, say, 12 months or so. I'm getting a little scared, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Okay. Let me go ahead and make some adjustments to what I was going to say to you guys today. I am going to get into this salesperson first, second, and third. You know, you're all pretty much saying a very similar thing. And I, you know, in coaching for the last 10 years, I know this is a tough time of the year. Let me elaborate a little bit on what what Richard was just saying. So you have to be careful. You have to be careful of the negativity of what's going on in the marketplace. You have to be careful. In other words, we want to have market data. We want to be informed. We want to be intelligent, but we don't want to be sick. And what I mean, you know, I think I've shared this with you guys before. I'm not sure, but you know, if I walk into a room and everybody's coughing and hacking and sniffling, you know, the bottom line is that I'm gonna get a cold if I stay here too long, or if I don't have some good meds. And staying too long is one of the critical points. The more you're around negativity, you know, you're going to get the disease. It's going to impact you. Okay. So the longer you're around it, you have to be really careful. The remedy or the medication that you take for this are the books. You know, the books that you're reading, the books that are actually changing your focus, changing how you look at the business, how you look at life, how you look at your day-to-day goals. Now, going back to one of the things that Linda said was, you know, I'm reading all this stuff, and I'm still kind of in a funk. I'm still, you know, having trouble taking action. I was on a call this morning with a guy, and he's a young guy, 27, 28 years old, doing pretty well real estate wise, but you know, he's living the life of a single 27, 28 year old, and you know, he's East Coast, so he's down at he's on the beach, you know, three days a week this time of year. And, you know, drinking and partying and all the good things that young people supposedly do for fun. And he told me this morning, he said, you know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of the same old routine. I'm sick of the friends and drinking and all this stuff. And this is not a conversation about alcohol or alcoholism or any of those things. But what I said to him, I just said, well, you know, it's important to note that you are sick of this, but I can guarantee you that a lot of people wake up on Monday morning and are sick of it, turn right around on Tuesday and go back to doing the same old thing. You know, basically that's the rule of an alcoholic or a drug addict or any, you know, they're sick of doing it, but they don't make a change. Now, assuming that you're not he wasn't an alcoholic and so he could quit what he was doing. The point is, what do you have to do to make the change? You have to implement a different plan. You know, here's a guy that's talking to me and he's saying, you know, hey, look, I want a relationship. I want a girlfriend. I want a wife somewhere down the road. I said, well, what do you do? What are you doing to prepare yourself for that person? In other words, most of us have a picture of who we want to be with, and it's this perfect picture of somebody, you know, that, you know, has all the attributes that we want and all the things that we want, you know, that we want to enjoy and share with that particular person. But the end result is that what are you doing to attract that kind of individual? Well, that's kind of what I'm saying to you guys right now is not on a relationship basis, but you all see yourself wanting to be, you know, a top producer, having substantial income, or having, you know, being financially independent without having to worry about where, you know, the next transaction's coming from. Would any of you disagree with that? I mean, did you see yourself at that level? I mean, you want to be at that level?
Yes.
Okay. Was that unanimous, basically?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So, again, coming back to what I was sharing with this young guy was, you have to start preparing yourself to attract that kind of individual. What I'm saying to you guys is, you've got to prepare yourself to be that kind, so you can even handle it. You know, what are the things I have to do? I have to take on the life, the disciplines of, you know, of someone who is a top producer. Now, none of you guys are top producers today, okay? It's not a slam, it's just the way it is. You know, you want to be a top producer? You said yes, okay? So obviously you got to do something different from what you're doing. You know, if what you keep doing, and if you keep ending up where you are, then what you're doing is not working. So to expect a different result would be insanity, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, going back to Mary. Mary talked earlier, you know, she was in a funk. Well, we get in a funk because we know what we're supposed to do, but we don't do it. And so, consequently, we have no results. We have no positive results. And so, at the end of the day, we go, oh, man, I just feel like crap, you know. I'm not making any progress because, you know, I don't know why. When, in fact, you do know why. You know, and so I guess one of the things, and part of the reason why I had you start off with Instant Millionaire, How to Think Like a Millionaire, were those two were, you know, I mean, you got a sense of, okay, look, I can be who I want to be. You can be who you want to be. You can raise the level of participation in your own life just by acknowledging, hey, look, you know, if you've never made $100,000, is that a number that is easy to relate to? Yes or no?
No.
Yes, I've made it.
Okay, so when you have made it, and again, these are barriers that are, they're mental barriers. That's all they are. You know, they're hurdles that you can jump over. They're obstacles that you can go around, through, over, under, whatever. You know, you can get around them. But the reality is you have to start thinking differently, okay? When you've broken $100,000, then we create new barriers. You know, then there's, then, and we do this subconsciously, you know. Remax, most of the systems around, you know, if you make $100,000, the next one is, you know, $250,000, you know, and that's a barrier that many people get stumped by, you know. But if you've not even made the $100,000, and that's not a slam, the bottom line is it is what it is, you have to begin to see yourself deserving of $100,000. You have to see yourself deserving of $150,000. You have to see yourself deserving of $70,000. If I've only made 20, then, you know, 70,000, 50,000 might be my next step. But I want to be stepping, I want to be continually stepping upwards. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But you have to see yourself there. Now, if you see yourself as someone who produces $20,000, then I guarantee you, you're going to struggle to break $20,000. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In order to make $100,000 or $150,000 or $200,000, you know, any of those levels, you obviously have to do something different than what you're doing right now. Right?
That makes sense, yeah.
How many of you think that you are a salesperson? How many think how many of you think you are a salesperson? Honestly.
I do. I think we're absolutely salespeople.
Okay.
I do.
Okay.
You know, it depends on the context, Don. Obviously, we need salesperson skills, quote unquote. We're marketers. We're organizers. But somewhere in there, we need some salesperson skills.
Well, I do think I think that one of the things that you could even, you know, I can even blame some of the teachers and trainers in our industry for this too, and that is that, you know, we call ourselves realtors, we call ourselves sales consultants, we call ourselves we try to avoid using the word salesperson because for a lot of us, what's the picture that you see when you think of salesman? Give me a couple of examples. What do you see when somebody says, "Oh, you're in sales"?
Somebody knocking on my door and trying to sell me anything from a vacuum cleaner to I don't know, something.
Okay.
Jenny Bart.
That was Mary. Mary?
Yeah, that's
some
Mary.
Kind of.
Okay. Linda.
Kind of. No.
A used car salesman.
Used car salesperson. Okay, used car salesman, meaning, which really doesn't have a great connotation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's somebody who's slick or, you know.
Or someone that works in the mall.
Yeah.
You know, in a store.
Okay, Richard?
Well, someone whose intention is mainly to sell you something so they can make money with not necessarily any regard for your personal welfare. And is going to use all kinds of techniques.
Sort of like
they learn.
Sort of like a thief.
Well, you know, you could look at it that way, right?
Okay. Again, what you guys have just done is you just quantified for yourselves. You know, it's inconsistent with what I'm telling you. In other words,
I know. No, Don, I'm sorry. I didn't finish that, Don. I'm sorry, Don. That's how I perceive some people to look at a salesperson. But also, when I personally think of salesperson, a really good one, like, say, Tom Hopkins, you know, or Joe Girard, you know, in the Guinness Book of World Records, sold the most cars ever. I think of very powerful individuals who have supreme, superb control of their mind, and they actually know what's best for people, and they can get people into that situation where they both benefit, and it's a win-win situation.
Okay. Most of the realtors I know aren't just in this to sell you something. Most of the people that I communicate with on a regular basis, my clients and so on and so forth, my sphere of influence in regards to real estate, most of the people that I know in this business are pretty ethical people. We try to move ourselves away from that salesman, salesperson mentality that most of you have experienced, and we've all experienced. All of us have. You know, when you get a picture of a salesperson, I see the Kirby guy. I see the, you know, and I own a Kirby, you know. So it isn't all bad. I like it. I like my Kirby. But, I actually don't like the vacuum personally, but that's another story. Anyway, from a salesperson standpoint, you are in one of the greatest careers on the face of the earth. Nothing in this world moves without sales. Nothing. You know, if you're married, you had to sell somebody on the idea of marrying you. You may have made a bad choice. you may have oversold. You know, depending on where you are in your relationship. But the bottom line is, you had to sell somebody on that. You had to sell a broker to take you as a salesperson with a real estate license. You had to sell yourself you had to sell yourself as a kid to, you know, to get extra helpings. Why were you deserving? You know, you had to, everything in on this earth moves because somebody sold something. When we quit selling, it stops. And you can see it right now. I mean, you can see it, you know, some of the challenges that we have economically in the world today are, you know, our sales are down. Sales are down. Sales are down. You can see the economic indicators, they all revolve around moving product, whether it's moving stock or whether it's moving food or whether it's moving gas, you know, whether it's moving houses or cars, you know, you are in one of the greatest professions known to man. You have one of the best opportunities. When it comes right down to it, if you're working 8 to 5 for somebody, you can be assured that probably once a year you're going to get a personnel review of your job performance, and you might get somewhere between 3 to 5% cost of living increase, assuming you're not getting a pink slip because the company's hurting for business. Bottom line is that somebody else is in full control of you, your life, your income. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. I'm working 1,000%.
Okay, so now you're in this great industry called real estate sales, but you have to, in order to be good at sales, what do you have to do?
Prospect.
You have to prospect, but you have to prospect and track. You have to prospect, track, and learn. You have to, you know, when it comes down to sales skills. You know, you've been reading these books, and you can see, okay, look, personal development is one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself. Being in this class, being, you know, taking this coaching is a step in the right direction. Reading the books that I give you, you know, doing actual prospecting, struggling through the pain of picking up the phone and making the calls and being satisfied that, hey, look, I did it. At least I did it. And I'm getting a little bit better. You know, it doesn't matter where you were. You know, we can't do anything about where we were yesterday. All we can do is, you know, so like I said to that young man, is, you know, you have a choice. Now, if you're going to make a change, if you're serious about making a change, you got to wake up in the morning and do something different. In order to wake up in the morning to do something different, you probably have to plan to do it the evening before. So if you're not planning the evening before, if you don't have a game plan for what's going on in your day, I guarantee you, you'll find yourself where Mary said she found herself, and that's in a funk, because you have no plan. You've heard the statement, fail to plan to fail. You know, it's really true, because especially, you know, you wake up today, you know, it's July 8th, 9th, what, you know, bottom line is it's nice outside, you know, maybe your kids are home, maybe they're not home, you know, maybe you have an opportunity, you know, you're also in a position, because of your career, you have a lot of freedom, right? You have freedom? Okay.
Yeah.
With freedom comes responsibility, you know, and if I'm going to take that freedom, convert that freedom to success, I've got to apply responsibility. And responsibility is what we've been talking about. It is taking the time to make my prospecting calls, to follow my time block, and, you know, look, say I've got to get better at the, I've got to begin to develop my sales skills. You know, we send out a lot of stuff, and I know people think, you know, from a sales standpoint that, you know, well, we're just trying to sell stuff. We're just trying to sell stuff. You know, granted, I'm the president of the company, so we do need to sell stuff. But one of the things that I know for our company is that the things that we sell have value. They will help you because repetition is the mother of skill. In other words, I can sit here and I can go through clothes after clothes after clothes. I can give you assumptive clothes. I can give you trial clothes. I can give you I can give you puppy dog clothes. I can give you all these clothes. What you're getting is just a little bit of information one time. And where some of the tools that we do have available from objection handling. How many of you sit down somebody and are just scared to death when if somebody brings up something you don't know the answer to, or if they ask a question in the middle of a presentation that you're giving and you're going, oh, you get that deer in the headlight look and you go, you're stuttering and stammering. How many of you can honestly say I like objections?
Well.
Huh. So I didn't see any. I didn't hear any vocal adamant.
Well, no one likes objections, you know. But.
No one likes objections.
No, you know. I mean,
yeah,
usually, you know, I can deal with them, you know. It depends with, you know, if you're dealing with a sane person on the other end, though, too. You know.
Would you rather go through a presentation with the objections or not objections?
Oh, a presentation? Well.
Yeah, would you rather make a presentation, and at the end of the presentation, you had
right.
No objections.
Oh, of course, no objections. Of course. You know.
Okay, now I've got no objections, but now they still don't want to sign.
I don't know. It is said that objections show a level of interest.
Yeah.
Without which the sale will not be made.
Right. Objections are a rung on the ladder to the sale success. In other words, if I don't know how to deal with objections, if I don't try to learn how to deal with objections, then the chances are I'm not going to grow as a salesperson. Okay? Because objections are something I want to get to the place in my life where I enjoy. I look forward to objections because I know that, you know, objections don't mean that you know, as a guaranteed sale. It means I know they're interested. Whereas most of us think objections mean they're not interested. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sort of. Mary, are you still there?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. It does.
Okay. If you were going to throw a butt in there, what would it be?
I have a hard time. Well, I think that my thing is that when you're in a conversation with people, sometimes And maybe it's the lack of skill in noticing it. Sometimes it's hard to pick up what the objection is, you know? So if it's a conversation, it's moving along. Yeah, so I think that was my hesitation. Sometimes it's hard to pick up what exactly it is and how to go about it. But, yes, I agree. I agree with the fact that it shows they're interested, but sometimes I think it's more of a process in their brain. It doesn't necessarily mean they're objecting to it. I just try and look at it differently. I think there's obviously the objections. You're charging too much. Those obvious ones. But I don't always think it's like that. And actually, for the most part, in my presentations, it's not like that.
What do you mean it's not like that?
They're not so blatantly obvious. You know, they're...
Okay. Right, right.
They're
again,
slower.
they're what?
They're just slower with coming up with those, you know, or they seem to be agreeing with everything, and then they'll go over, you know, the part of the presentation that they're questioning again. So it's hard to figure out what their real objection is.
Okay. But the bottom line is, again, what I was trying to say with objection handling was, you know, this is something that you really need to get good at. So if it means, you know, going online, going through the TVL, the video training library, and looking at some of those clips over and over and over again with regards to, you know, role-playing, objection handling, those kinds of things, or go online and buy the objection handling series where you can play it over and over and over again, because what you're going to see is that objection handling, I need to, oftentimes, just as Mary was saying, the objection isn't clear. I don't understand what the objection is, so how do I get there? Well, at the end of a presentation, I mentioned this to Linda just a few minutes ago, was at the end of the presentation, would you be happier if you didn't have any objections? What I left out was, okay, at the end of the presentation, I have no objections. I've had no objections, but they're not ready to sign. What do I do?
Well, and that's actually, Don, exactly what I was talking about. That happens to me a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What do you do?
Well, now you've got
to figure it out. That's why I listen just to my CDs that I have. I buy a lot of the Real Estate Champion CDs. I do think they help. And usually I know it's not the way to do it, just based on the CDs and what I read. But usually I'll say, okay, can I follow up with you in a day or two? And they'll say, give me until next week or something along those lines. There's just no, in my opinion, there's no urgency for anybody in this market, and it's hard to get them to feel the urgency of it.
Well, okay. Now, that's a statement that I'll take a little bit of exception to from this perspective, and that is that people have to buy and people have to sell. You know, we go back to the DNA, the desire, need, ability, and authority. If they don't have those, honestly, I have to dig to find out what it is. I have to dig to find out what their need is, what their desire is, what's their capacity to go out and buy again. You know, a lot of times we take things for granted. You know, everybody out there who's selling a house doesn't get to go buy another one. You know, that's why half of the transactions are short sales. At the end of a short sale, there's no buyer. You know, I might get rid of my house, but I don't have any money left. I can't do anything right now. In most cases. So the bottom line is that I'm looking for that motivation. When somebody says to me, you know, listen, Don, we need to think about it. Great, I totally appreciate that, Mr. Jones. Tell me what specifically you need to think about, so that I can help you make sure that you at least you're focused on the right stuff. You know. What is it you need to pray about? What is it you need to think about? I want to find out what their urgency is. What is it they're trying to accomplish? What is their goal? What is the direction that they're headed? You know, why do they want to buy now? Why, are they capable of buying now? Are they capable of selling now? Again, I have to dig. You guys have to be detectives. You have to be detectives as part of the sales process. And when somebody says, okay, well, you know, give me a call next week, obviously you missed the boat on their motivation. Because one of two things is happening. Either they have no motivation or you lost out completely. And if you lost out completely, I want to know why I lost out. You know, and so going back to, okay, you know, Mr. Jones, I hear what you're saying. You don't want to give away. You don't want to give it away. I can appreciate that. If we can overcome that, if we can overcome your objection on price, do you agree that I'm the best person for the job? I didn't tell him I was going to meet him where he wanted me to meet him. I didn't tell him I was going to give him the commission that he wants. I just asked him if we can overcome this objection. I isolated the objection. Do you agree that we can move forward? You know, well, there is one other thing. Okay, great. What is that? You know, I'm at a loss right now, but you know, there's one other thing. I'm not going to pay 6%. Okay, great. So if we can resolve the commission issue, would you agree that I'm the best person for the job? In other words, I'm looking for what is it that's keeping you from making a decision? How many times if you get in the car with your spouse or significant other or friend or whatever, and you know you're headed off to dinner, but you don't know where you're going. You say, okay, what do you want? Where do you want to go? And how many times do either you or your significant other individual that you're asking that question to say, oh, I don't care, wherever you want to go? Does that happen to anybody? Is that just my life?
No, it happens all the time.
Okay, so the bottom line is that, okay, so if I say that to my wife and I say, yeah, and she says, well, I don't care, we can go wherever you want. Great, okay, well, let's go get a hamburger. Well, I really didn't want a hamburger. Okay, so she had an opinion, didn't she? No. Okay, you didn't. Where do you want to go? I don't care, wherever you want to go. Okay. You know, the bottom line is that I got to get to that. I got to get to the objection. I got to get to the crux of the matter. I got to find out exactly what it is they're trying to accomplish. Make sense?
Mhm. Yeah.
Oh yeah, you have to isolate, right?
Remember this. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And, you know, yeah, I'm sure you have. It's been around a long time. I first heard it from Zig Ziglar years ago, 30 years ago. And, I thought, wow, that's a pretty powerful statement. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Meaning, you know, we can have all the information in the world. We can have a great presentation. But the bottom line is that if we just make the presentation, we're showing them what we know, okay? And it's what I would call a data dump. You know, we're dumping information on them. But when you start asking questions, you start, you know, and I'll use this statement, questions, from my perspective, are the answer. I'm digging, I'm looking. When I'm asking questions, I'm showing you, one, that I care. Okay, I'm looking for motivation, or I'm looking for where you want to go, what direction you want to hit. You know, I'm not just telling you. I'm looking. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Zig Ziglar said this other, you know, another statement that I think ties in well with what with this conversation, and that is, you really can have anything in life you want if you're willing to help enough other people get what they want. When you think about the business that you're in the business of helping people, you know, meet the American dream, or, you know, buy their dream home, or, you know, be financially independent through investment process. You're helping people get what they want. Does that make sense?
If you
go back to the beginning of this conversation, you're a salesperson first, second, and third, and your picture of a salesperson is this greasy, guy standing on your front porch with a vacuum cleaner, your perception of you is going to be distorted. It's going to be inconsistent with where you want to go. You want to become a salesperson, you need to redevelop that picture. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You need to redevelop the picture. You need to be happy and, I mean, excited about this is your opportunity. You know, so many of the things that, and I think it was Mary that said she bought a lot of stuff online. Is it Mary or Linda?
No, it's Mary.
Okay. Bought a lot of stuff online. Would you agree that after listening to the information that you plugged in, that at the end of listening to those, that you feel some accomplishment, you feel like you're inspired, or a light bulb turns on in your head, you get an aha moment or one of those things, You hear something on one of the CDs, and then you apply it in a listing presentation or with a buyer, and you go, wow, that really worked. That was very cool.
Oh, yeah. I think the CDs are great. And again, I think they have to be listened to constantly.
Over and over and over again.
Yeah, there's just so much information that I feel like I could probably sit down for 8 hours a day and take notes and still not have everything I need.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I don't want you to go there, because that's kind of like going to the mountain and saying, wow, it was a great experience, I think I'll just keep going to the mountain. Sometime you have to take and apply the information that you're getting in order to really, really get the benefit of it. And the more that you're out there in the marketplace, and the more people that you're working with, the more you begin to, some of these pieces begin to come together. You begin to realize, wow, I know that. Wow, I remember what he said about isolating objections. This is a plus. This is a positive thing. I'm helping people get what they want. You know, they want to sell their house, I'm going to help them get there. You know, I've got integrity. I'm not looking to hururt anybody. I'm looking to help people. Okay.
Yeah,
so
and
now,
I'm sorry. I was just going to say I definitely agree with you. And believe me, I don't have the time to sit and listen to them at my house. I usually listen to them on the road, and that is my goal, is to take at least something from the CD that day and try and implement it into the next appointment I have or the next phone call I make. And it does make it easier, absolutely.
Part of what I was saying to you guys wasn't just to a sales pitch for buying more CDs from Real Estate Champions. It was, in fact, you can have anything you want in life if you're willing to help enough other people get what they want. What most people who get involved with Real Estate Champions want is to better their performance, better their career, to move to a different level, have balance in life, to have more integrity. You know, these are the things that we teach, and so in essence, that's why we have success. The same thing with you guys. You know, you help people get what they want. If you look at yourself as someone who is, getting a listing, and basically we're calling it a lottery ticket for, maybe I'm going to hit the lotto on this one or not, well, your approach is wrong. But if your approach is, look, I'm here to do the job, I'm here to be honest and be upfront with people and tell them what the value of their home is, I'm not going to take overpriced listings in this marketplace. I'm here to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. You know, now you've got a different perspective of who you are. When you raise that perspective, you raise your value. So if you're struggling at below 100,000, and that's where, and your target is, hey, look, I want to make 50, or I want to make 70, or I want to make 80, or 100, or I want to make 150, it doesn't matter what it is. If you haven't been there before, you have to see yourself there. In other words, you have to see yourself as What does a $150,000 agent do? They're more consistent. You know, they make the prospecting calls. What does a $250,000 agent do? They make the phone calls. They do the follow-up. They do the lead follow-up. You know, they have the time block because they're doing more business than, I mean, they're doing five times as much business as somebody who's doing $50,000 and probably spending 60 hours a week doing $50,000. So you got to keep getting better and better and better and better. But from the standpoint that you are a salesperson, this is a positive thing for you guys. To move from where you are today, to continue to move, we have to make constant and never-ending improvement. Constant and never-ending improvement doesn't mean you have to go from 0 to 60 in 2 seconds. It means I've got to get a little better every day. Okay, if I feel, you know, if I feel blah or I feel like, you know, not doing it, not doing anything today, then do one thing, do two things, you know, do one more thing than what you were just doing. In other words, you know, okay, look, you know, I don't feel like making calls. Well, if you don't feel like making calls, make the calls anyway. Don't let that be your constant barrier. Because if it is your constant barrier, feeling will keep you from being successful in this business. Because most of us don't feel. It's kind of like what Mary said in the very beginning. Yeah, most of it, you know, she didn't really feel that great. Felt, what was the term you used, Mary?
I said a lot. When I said I was in a funk and I just needed to get back on the horse and go.
Yeah. You said she was in. You were in a funk, which basically to me is kind of, you know, it's just out there, and everything's not necessarily negative, but nothing's really positive. I'm not really making a whole lot of progress. I'm not really doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You know, so how do I change that? One step at a time. If that means, okay, laying out my day tomorrow, that means, you know, if you're working, if constant never-ending improvement to me means, look, if you're working 10 hours a day, if somebody I know is working 10 hours a day, I'm not going to measure myself against that person if I'm working four. If I'm working four, my goal might be to work 4.5. You see what I'm saying? You know, we don't all have the same life. Some of us have different restrictions. Some of us have children to raise and, you know, on top of this. Some of us have, you know, other challenges in life that keep us from moving forward at the pace of somebody else. Don't measure yourself against somebody else. Measure yourself against yourself. And by doing so, you know, if you ask for constant and never-ending improvement, you will constantly get a little bit better. You know, the personal development. Plug in the tape. Plug in the CD. You know, keep reading. Keep doing those things. You know, become better at what you're doing. It doesn't have to be instant. Remember, this is a journey. I say this a lot. Success is a journey. It's not a destination. In other words, you're not going to arrive there. You know, it's not someplace that, you know, if you're making $20,000 a year and you think that making $250,000 a year is the destination called success, you're wrong. It's not there. It is who I become along the way. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. All right, no more funks. This is July 8th. We're gonna go through 2 weeks. I want to see daily activity tracking from everybody. I want to see production numbers. I don't care what they look like. Send them. I want to see all of them. Everybody. I don't care. No funks. No dog ate my homework. No, my fax didn't go through. I want to see them all. Okay?
Okay.
All right, guys?
Good. Okay.
Go have an awesome week.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Don.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.